as always, like to have you guys check us out. Where, Donald?
The Valley Outdoors.
Ava, where else?
And Facebook.
You got it. We're going to have tons of stuff out there. Always do on the valleyoutdoors.com. Hit that button, and then on Facebook, hit that like button as well. We were setting the table earlier at the top of the show, and we were talking about the Michigan firearm deer season opening on Friday. And this is the fifth period this fall during which hunters can take a deer. An additional five seasons take place into 2025, allowing hunters to take antlerless deer using such things as muzzleloaders, etc. And officials hoping to hunters choose to take more does this year as the state's deer population swells, as there may be as many as 2 million deer in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of dents and fenders if they don't take some.
Broken grills, yep. Everything else, accidents. So that can be an issue. Opening starts at 6:54 in eastern Michigan. For this western portion of Michigan, opens 18 minutes later. How about that?
I'm surprised it's that much difference.
I know. That's a wide state.
Evidently.
How far from buildings should I hunt? They say 150 to 400 or 450 from buildings. Stay 150 yards or 450 feet from buildings. What other cool little things about Michigan? Kind of like the fact sheet. It's kind of cool. Let's see.
How do they rank in the Boone and Crockett and things of that nature? Any idea? You know where the number one county is in the nation?
Buffalo, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Buffalo County. Just southwestern Wisconsin.
Just about 25 miles from where we're sitting.
The only thing that I think is a problem right now is the fact that Wisconsin has significant disease.
CWD?
Yeah, CWD disease. And they're on many of these counties, they are not requiring reporting. We've done a bunch of stories on it. I think you remember some of the stories we've done, but they're not requiring reporting on it. So, and that's, I believe, one of the counties that they haven't required reporting. I want to do some research on that because I find that a lot of times they don't want to give it a negative impact from press.
An impression.
Yep. The optics are kind of everything with trophy areas, and there's a lot of trophy ranches / farms down there that are getting that. So I need to look into it, but there's a lot of places that they decided not to because it's becoming a major epidemic situation in Wisconsin. That's what they're talking about, doing away with the doe season completely. And, big challenge. So, question, Don. In Michigan, can you harvest an albino or piebald deer? Is it legal to do so?
Sure.
It is. Well, as long as you follow the regulations. How much is a deer license in Michigan? Non-resident deer license, how much is that?
Non-resident?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, but probably $200.
Yeah, $190.
Just a guess.
17 to 64-year-olds, if you're a single deer license and you're in a local, 20 or 76 if you want to fish as well. And senior citizens are $8 or 43 if you want to do the same, if you want to hunt and fish. Comes up, says, do you need a license to hunt? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you're born on or after January 1st, 1960, you must present your hunter safety certificate or previous hunting licenses other than apprentice license to purchase a license.
Do they allow baiting in Michigan?
No.
In Wisconsin?
No.
South Dakota?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Wisconsin was a big issue because of that exact thing, CWD.
Right.
Remember the one guy? He got tired of all the animals coming and eating the feed he had for the deer. So somebody had leased land and they put rat poison to kill those. And then the deer ended up eating them and they had dead deer.
Oh, no. I hadn't heard that
one. Yeah. And then the guy that actually owned the land had the DNR come over and say, do you know you're feeding deer rat poison? And the guy's like, that's leased.
Oh, my.
as the saying goes, and that's least of which.
Yeah.
Not good. So, well, best of all to everyone out in Michigan. I hope you guys are safe and
play it safe.
Always play it safe. And we'll jump into some of those statistics, Don. I would say shocking, some of them are, but surprising, I think, is the better way to put it.
And these statistics are from where?
All over. This is a hunting period.
Okay.
Any of the hunting accidents that we look at.
Gotcha.
And, of course, we're looking in this case of deer is the primary scenario. Injuries from deer stands, tree stands, accidents, because I have to make sure. Deer stand because you've been a ground blind before. Ava, do you have a ground blind or you're in a tree?
I am in an elevated deer stand. So it's got steps.
Okay. So you're up.
7 feet.
You're not a ground blind. Yep. Right. Okay. So injuries from tree stand accidents far outweigh the number of firearm related incidents. Falls from 10 to 30 feet high can be fatal or disabling, which is why hunter education programs emphasize necessity of using proper safety gear, which we highlighted last week. Please strap that thing onto the tree, lock it in, get it done. That's a huge deal.
Pull your gear up afterwards.
Pull the rifle.
Yep.
Well, or it could be bow. It's just either one. It can be as cumbersome as the other. So definitely an important scenario. Fatal hunting accident statistics. This is kind of a different way to look at it, but lifetime odds of death for selected causes. This is up to 2020. Heart disease, 1 in 6. Motor vehicle, 1 in 101. Motorcyclist, 1 in 800. Choking on food, 2,745. Accidental discharge of a firearm, 1 in 8,000. That's the odds, which is basically...
That's pretty good.
That's why I don't walk very far to my deer stand.
There is that.
Don knows his limitations.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Well, the number one thing you had there was...
Educate. Hey, you know that the part that's sad is it's not the part about getting to your stand on. It's when people shoot a deer, they're not in shape, and they don't try and pull it out, drag it out. That's when there's a lot of issues that come up.
Yeah, you can have cardiac arrest trying to pull one of those.
Same with snow
out.
Shoveling. It's the same kind of thing. The International Hunting, etc. IHEA reports that fewer than 100 hunters die yearly from firearm accidents. Education programs and firearm safety have a significant role in bringing accidental fatalities down by 42% over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So pretty significant. A study found that 300 to 500 hunters in the U.S. die in tree stand accidents annually and 6,000 sustain injuries from falls. That's why that safety that we keep talking about, you guys, that's the part that's really the problem. It can happen if your stand maybe a year, 2, 3 years old and it was wood. Don't trust that. You can't just go up to the stand, climb in it, and assume it's good. The wood could be rotten. You could have had red squirrels chewing in it like they do in my yard all the time, which I'm tired of. But they can destroy a stand, believe it or not, make it weak. Whatever the case is, just understand that those deer stand deaths and falls are not good. Some pretty telling numbers. There's quite a few different numbers as far as hunting goes. But they said that 1.8 million emergency department visits for firearm-related injuries from 1993 to 2008, only 1.95% were hunting injuries. 1.8 million emergency department visits for firearm-related injuries, only 1.95% were hunting-related.
Right.
The mortality rate for hunters, 0.6%. Non-hunter firearm injuries, 5.3%. So just off the chart difference because
you use them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
familiarity and.
But again, accidents are where they can happen, which is the unfortunate part when you look at, you know, prime example, the gentleman that was shot. Let's see if I have that story here, or that died. We don't know exactly what caused it, but I'll try and find it. Is it there?
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, no, it's not. Oh, there you go. Yeah, so in this particular case, in the state of Minnesota, 7 hunting-related shootings in the injuries in statewide through November 5th. Pheasant hunter lost his balance, shot himself in the foot. Sorry, I was waiting for somebody to say a joke or something about that. Because that would be it's shooting yourself in the foot, really.
Yeah. If you're going to shoot yourself somewhere.
Best place to get shot, yeah.
Bird hunter turned to shoot and shot a fellow hunter.
Actually, that happens quite frequently out in South Dakota.
It is because you're running with 8 guys on a drive
or
in the 13.
Field. Yeah.
Hunter shot self, messing around with their hand over the barrel of a shotgun.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You can't fix stupid when that comes to play.
Well, no, that's covered in the hunter safety program. That's not the place for your hand, ever.
It's not?
No.
No? Like you're not going to stop you're not going to
look
like it's like looking over the mortar of a fireworks, you know? I wonder what comes out of that barrel.
Here's one that I find to be blows my mind. Hunter heard movement, turned and shot fellow hunter in both legs.
I'm trying to picture that one.
Well, you could hear a sound behind you.
So you turn and shoot? That's not...
You've watched pheasant hunting shows, and you'll watch them walking through the field, and depending upon the direction of the wind, I just watched one on this last weekend. Bird gets up and goes over the top of your head.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody, you know, swings. And our friend Mike was ducking like he always does.
I know.
You know, and that, I say that is probably one of the most unsafe things. You know, it's just a bird. If it flies behind you, let it go. Because you're, no matter what you're doing, you're swinging that shotgun.
The one thing that we would do, if from my side of it, because I'd be with Mike a lot of times and try and shoot back up for everybody. If that happened, I wouldn't raise my shot. I'd see what was going on. I'd leave my shotgun down and then bring it up when I turned around. I wouldn't even have it up. I didn't need to.
Well, this particular case, the wind was like about 30 mile an hour.
Oh, I know. They get out of range quick.
there were a lot of shots. Yeah, but nothing falling out of the air.
Birds. Yeah. No. Lots of lead lost.
Yep.
Here's another one. Hunter stumbles and shoots a fellow angler in the calf.
I can see that happening.
Now, if you hear movement and turning and shooting, odds are you're turning with your finger on the trigger.
You shouldn't be.
With no safety. This other one, hunter stumbled and shot a fellow hunter.
Should have had it on safety.
Again, you're shooting without, or you're operating that without a safety. Same thing, pheasant hunter lost balance, shot himself in the foot. Again, it comes down to stupid things that cause permanent issue, and it's frustrating.
Did he lose any toes?
Don't know. He shot him in the calf.
Oh, a calf.
Yeah. Now the other guy shot in the foot. I don't know.
I don't know how you wouldn't.
I can't answer that question. So anyway, so the point really becomes: be careful. Just flat out, be careful. So you actually have a lower injury hunting than you do basketball, football, and cycling.
Well, it's like you say, most hunters are well trained.
Yeah.
Most are.
That's why the numbers are down.
Yeah.
Let's move to a positive story, shall we? We've got a story coming out of Michigan where a teen broke her mom's Michigan State record bear 26 years later.
Oh,
wow.
Is that cool or what?
How big was it?
Well, we're just going to tell you that. Twist of fate and luck, 15-year-old girl from Grayling set a new Michigan record for black bear among females with a bow and arrow category this last fall. She shot the bear that she shot eclipsed one of her mother's that was shot 26 years ago that's been in a record book ever since. She was wearing the same camo outfit her mother did when she shot the state record bear. On top of that, the mom was responsible for enabling her daughter to get the bear tag for the Red Oak Bear Management Unit, the Lower Peninsula, Michigan, so she could get that record bear. It takes more than 10 preference points to obtain a bear tag for the Red Oak, and this mom had 12. So she just got it done. When she was drawn for the bear license, she transferred her drawing success to her daughter. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Really cool story. The DNR has a system. If anybody doesn't know, the system allows anyone who is successful in a bear drawing to transfer their success to a person of their choosing or someone on the DNR list of disabled hunters waiting for the opportunity to hunt. Both Autumn's parents are avid hunters. It's no surprise their daughter has developed into an intense interest in the activity. Worthy of note that the female members of the Pratt family are not the only ones with record book bears to their credit. Father has two bears in state records, and pretty crazy,
keep,
huh?
Keep in mind, I mean, she had to start buying those preference points when she was 3 years old.
Yeah.
She was 15 when she got it.
Yeah. But, and she did it with a bow, which
you
is super cool.
You still haven't told me how big the bear was.
I was going to say the bow.
The bear is actually a enter for archery kills, a typical angler's aim. State record is 100. The she taught two bucks. I'm working to the story, guys. Work with me here. Don's going to give me grief on this one. The bear dressed out at 330 pounds and has skull measurement at 209 and 16 inches. Mother's bear was 15 and 16, so was much older and heavier. So dressed weight of 343, but it was bigger. The head measurement was bigger. So how do you like them apples? Pretty cool. But anyway, so what do you think, Don? Cool story to wrap
Very
it up,
cool
though.
Cool story, yep.
Wishing everybody a really good and safe season coming up as you head out into the woods. So I hope you guys enjoy. Thanks much. And we will be here next week. See you, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.